I want to thank the folks here for the invitation to come and share with you. In these meetings, we pray that God will truly bless us as we gather around the Word of God today, and that the Lord will open our hearts to receive His precious Word. Now, I know that the Lord is blessing you in this part of the Lord's vineyard. You're moving into a new part of your history of the congregation. And we know that God will bless His servant, Dr. Ferguson, here as he preaches God's Word Sabbath by Sabbath. But we realize today that we need to look at God's Word and learn from His truth as to the kind of people that God would require in Singapore in the coming days for the blessing of God to come upon this place. And I want us therefore to look, and I've changed, Brother, from the original message that I was going to preach. And I feel led that we should look and see just exactly what happened in the book of the Acts of the Apostles and how God worked in that day and generation. And I believe that the very kind of people that we have recorded in the book of the Acts of the Apostles and the church that was there established is the kind of people and church that needs to be established in this day, that you might move forward in the work of the Lord. I look back over my years of ministry, and her brother said over 45 years. Well, actual fact, I commenced the first gospel mission in Macrofelt, that is in Northern Ireland. Next year, in the month of July, it will be 50 years ago. I know I don't look that, but nevertheless, it's amazing how those years seem to pass. But the Lord has been good to us, and we learn some of the things here in the book of the Acts of the Apostles that in our own ministry in Macrofelt and in the ministry of the Free Church in Northern Ireland, we see many of the characteristics, and I believe they're important for the future in this congregation here in Singapore. I want you, first of all, to think about the Church of Jesus Christ and the Acts of the Apostles. Look at chapter 1 for a moment. And look at verse number 14. It says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." And then if you go down to verse number 24, said, "And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." And I want you to notice the first thing and first characteristic about the church here in the Acts of the Apostles. It was a place and a church of prayer. And I do believe that that is how that the Word of God and the work of God goes forward. It goes forward as God's people pray. Now, I know that today we think of other things to move the work forward, but we go forward on our knees. And we need a church that knows the blessing of God in prayer. You remember God, Elijah, the prophet of God, in his day and generation. And before he announced what God was going to do in sending the time of the drought in the land, it said that he prayed. And then it said that after the 3.5 years, it says, and he prayed again and God sent rain. In other words, God moved in answer to prayer. And I believe that as you go forward in your new journey in this congregation, how vitally important it is for the people in this congregation to be a people who know how to pray and seek the face of God in prayer. You know, when you look at the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, you'll find that indeed they were people of prayer. Hudson Taylor talked about it. He said, transacting business with God. Jonathan Edwards, he talked about storming heaven by prayer. And I think it's of vital importance for this congregation to have people who know how to pray. It said, and they prayed and said, they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. In the passage of God's word that was read in Acts chapter 2, it said in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and prayers. And I believe it is so important that God's people in Singapore know what it is to seek the face of God in prayer, because it's as you seek the face of God in prayer that God will come and that God will bless you and God will use his servant and God will see precious souls gloriously and wonderfully saved by the grace of God. You know, I had a godly mother. And I can tell you the thing that I remember most about my godly mother was this. She was a woman of prayer. I used to sit outside her bedroom door. And she would go into her bedroom and she would get down on her knees. And I heard my mother pray. She prayed for her family. She didn't pray for us, Lord bless my children. No, she prayed for each one of her children. And she brought every one of us before the throne of grace in prayer. Every time I stepped into the pulpit, I knew that there was a woman who was on her knees before God in prayer. And she would seek the face of God. And even in her latter years of life, when she couldn't go out to the meetings, I always knew that she was backing us up in prayer. And friend, that was a real blessing to me. And after a meeting was over, the telephone would ring and my mother would say, "Son, did anybody get saved tonight? I was praying for God to save precious souls. I asked you, will you back your preacher up in prayer? Because I can tell you, if you're going forward in this day and generation, you'll go forward on your knees in prayer." They were people characterized by prayer. And then secondly, I want you to notice the characteristic of this church here in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. If we go to chapter 1, it said in verse number 8, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And then you go to chapter 4. In chapter 4, in the verse number 30, or verse 31, it says, "And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Verse 33, it says, "And with great power." And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Here's a second characteristic. They're not only a people of prayer, they were a people of power. It's because they prayed. And you know what says in the book of the Acts of the Apostles? Yes, there was the promise of the Holy Ghost. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And then it says they continued. They waited in prayer. They tarried in prayer. And thank God the day of Pentecost did fully come. And God answered prayer. And they were a people of power. Friend, let me tell you, whenever they were a people of power, they had an impact upon the community they lived in, because they had the power of God. They were not relying upon their ingenuity. They were not relying upon their oratory of their preachers. They were not relying upon man. They were relying upon the power of God. And I can tell you, my friends, that will be the secret of this congregation in the coming days to move forward. It's by the power of God. Because you can rely upon Dr. Ferguson. And I can tell you, if it was simply him, you'll go nowhere. Except to be a man with power. The power of God. Power of Holy Spirit. Listen, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. That's the secret of power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And you ought to pray every time that God's servant comes to this pulpit to preach the word of God in this place. You ought to pray, "Oh God, fill thy servant with power to preach the word, that he might be effective in the proclamation of thy truth and know the power of God in his ministry." Because we need to be a people of power. D.L. Moody, after a Sunday school talk, an elderly man came and gave him this advice, and he grasped Moody by the hand. And he looked into the eyes of the preacher and he says, "Young man, honor the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Spirit of God." Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he called it the diamond rule for successful preaching, and he exhorted his preachers, "Be ye clothed with the Spirit of God. Ye shall receive power." And that's what we need today. Because if we're going to have influence in this community, if you're going to have influence in this community, friend, it'll not be in anything of yourself, but it'll be the power of God. It'll be the blessed power of the Spirit of God. And we need the power of the Spirit of God. You know, you can know all about the theories of man. You can know all about botany, and you can know all about geology, and you know all about astrology and all of these things. And people can be impressed with your knowledge. But if you want to do a work with God, for God, friend, you need to know the power of God. The blessed power of the Spirit of God, and ye shall receive power. It's so easy to play church. And today across this world there are many buildings, and they've got soft seats, and they've great organizations. But I can tell you the secret of the church of God and the great need of the hour is the power of God in the pulpit. The blessed anointing of the Spirit of God. Remember this, without me, this is what God says, without me you can do nothing. Nothing. And here we find in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, they were a people, yes, they were a people, and they were a church of prayer. And then they were a people of power. And then thirdly, I want you to notice they were a people of praise. Chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles. Notice what it says here. Or rather, chapter 2, verse 47. It says, praising God and having favor with the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Go to chapter 5. Verse number 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Here were a people that were persecuted. They were under the opposition and persecution of the enemy. And yet, even after they were beaten and after they were threatened, it says they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of the Lord Jesus. They were a people of praise. And let me tell you, if a people is a people of prayer and a people of power, thank God there will be people that will be happy in the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. We sing a wee hymn in Northern Ireland, the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. Their way is growing bright, their souls are on the wing, we're going by and by to the palace of a king. Glory to God, hallelujah. And I believe with all my heart, friend, that God's children ought to be the happiest people in all the world. Now, there's some people have got this idea that you, if you're a Christian, that you must walk around with a very long, sad face. Tell me, what testimony is that for the joy of the Lord? Did God save you to make you miserable? The joy of the Lord is your strength. How strong are you today? Are you happy you're saved? Are you happy your sins are forgiven? Are you happy in your way to heaven? Are you happy in the Lord? Because the church here was a church of praise. Go to chapter 8 of the Acts. And it says in verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 8, and there was great joy in the city. I tell you, this city needs the joy of the people of God, not worked up of the flesh, but the blessed joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord being your strength. Go to verse chapter 8, verse 39. It says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. Now Philip's out of the road, but listen, and he went on his way, what? Sad. No, he went on his way rejoicing. Yes, Philip was no longer seen, but thank God he had something in his heart. He had the joy of the Lord in his heart. And friend, I can tell you this, you know, there are some people are happy because of their possessions. Well, what will happen to your joy when your possessions are taken away? You see, friend, your joy is not in your circumstances. Your joy is not in your possessions. Your joy is in the Lord. Rejoice, what did Paul say? He said, writing to the Philippian church, and remember he was in prison. What did he say? Rejoice in the Lord always. What did the psalmist say? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I will rejoice in the Lord. Yes, friend, the joy of the Lord. Turn to chapter 13 of the Acts of the Apostles. And look in verse number 52. It says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with joy because they were a people of praise. They were rejoicing in the Lord. Chapter 20 of the Acts of the Apostles. Look at verse number 24. But none of those things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Friend, let me tell you, I'm growing old, but I don't want to grow old miserable. I want to grow old with joy. I want to be happy in the Lord. And I asked you this morning, is that a characteristic of your life, a joy of the Lord? Are you really rejoicing in the God of your salvation? Yes. Here's a church. Here's a people that were persecuted, that faced great opposition. Paul, who faced imprisonment. Listen, he was facing death, and yet he said this. He says, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He wanted to testify the gospel of the grace of God, even in difficult circumstances. The joy was in his heart. You know, the devil wants to make you miserable, but the Lord gives joy. We sing a wee chorus. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. They were a people of prayer. They were a people of power. They were a people of praise. And friends, next, they were a people of progress. Let's go back in the Acts chapter 2 again. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. You know, God can give Cornerstone Church. God can give you favor with the people in Singapore. If you honor the Lord, if you walk with the Lord and you do what God wants you to do, friend. And then it says in verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily. Oh, may that happen here in this congregation, that the Lord will add to the church daily, to the congregation, to the people of God, to the church of Jesus Christ, that the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. 3,000 souls were saved in that day of Pentecost. Tell me, did that finish the progress? No. It went on. And I tell you this, I pray earnestly with all my heart that under the minister of God's servant here, that this place will be too small. Now I know that will give you a problem, because where will you go then on your journey in the wilderness? But I can tell you, if God is going to bless you and God is going to fill the place, then you've got to trust the Lord to provide the need. Or will you just be satisfied with what you have? No, friend, listen. The Lord added to the church daily. Go to chapter 4. Has the work of God stopped? Oh no, glory to God, it hasn't. Look at chapter 4, verse number 4. It says, howbeit many of them which heard the word of God, the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. That's progress. They've gone from 3,000. And now the number of the men's 5,000. There's progress. Go to verse number 32 of that same chapter. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. The multitude. So now it's moved from the 3,000 to the 5,000, and now it's a multitude. Does the work of God stop then? Look at chapter 5, verse number 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes. Both of men and women. There's a work of God going on, isn't it? Isn't that progress? Multitudes. It mentioned about 5,000 men. But glory to God, it says, listen, multitudes, the Lord, the believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. Hallelujah for the women. The Lord's adding to the church. Does the work stop there? Go to chapter 6. Chapter 6. It says in verse number 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. And here's the word, greatly. Multitudes. Greatly. Greatly. Great multitudes, in other words. Go to chapter 11. Is the work of God stopping there? Chapter 11, verse number 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Chapter 12, verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Chapter 14. Verse number 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Here's the program. Go to chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse number 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. And that's my prayer for Cornerstone. And I trust that that's your prayer. There's a wee chorus that says, don't go to heaven alone. Bring somebody with you. And is that your desire, friend? With all my heart, I beg you in God's name, God give you that in your heart, the desire that the work of God in Singapore will move forward, that the Lord will add to the church daily. Daily. Such as you see. This is the work of God we're talking about. Now, there are so many today in God's work and they're depressed. There's so many that the devil says, you know, there's no hope for this generation. Nobody wants to hear anymore. Nobody wants the Lord anymore. I want to tell you, friend, God's still a God of revival. He's still the same God. I'm reading a book on my way over on the plane, and it's just entitled, Do It Again, Lord. And it talks about the revivals. I was reading about the American revival and how that indeed it was a time when the churches were emptying. And God laid it upon one man's heart. Just an ordinary man. He wasn't a preacher. Just an ordinary man. And God laid it in his heart to start a prayer meeting. Between 12 and 1 o'clock in New York. You know, it started that there was just, the first day I think there were 6. And then it came to 20, and then it came to 30, and then, friend, let me tell you, it came that there were thousands of people were going to the churches just for that time of prayer. And instead of the churches closing, churches start to open again. Can God do it again? Is God able to move again and work again? Can we see that progress that happened here? And so the churches, or were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily? I remember when I was a young preacher, I have a great memory. When I was a young preacher, every time we came to God's house, friend, listen to me. We expected somebody to see it. We expected it. And we were wondering, who was it this time? Where was God going to move? Was it a young person? Was it an older person? But we're always expecting it was some person. Or some persons. Are you expecting God to bless? Is that the expectation of your heart? Is not only is it the desire of your heart, is it the expectation of your heart? Because the church here in the Acts was a church of progress. Wanting God to do more. To save. Oh, there's multitudes in this city. And friend, they're lost. In their sin. And they're dying in their sin and they're going to hell in their sin. And let me tell you, hell's as real today. I know there's not much preached about anymore in the pulpits across in our country. But as sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. And those that are saved are going to heaven, and those that are lost in their sin are going to hell. And those that are going to heaven will never want back, and those that are going to hell will never get back. And they're there forever. And that brings me to the last thought. They were a people of prayer. They were a people of power. They were a people of praise. They were a people of progress. But they were a people of passion. They had a love for the lost. And I asked you before God, friend, have you a love for the ungodly to see them saved? I remember meetings as a young preacher sitting in prayer meetings. And there was such a burden on the hearts of mothers for their children that whenever we had the prayer meetings, friend, I can tell you this, there was something about those prayer meetings. People would sit in tears, broken in tears. For their lost loved ones. But I have to say this today. I've sat in many prayer meetings. But God's people have lost their tears. They haven't the burden for the lost. The Lord Jesus said, go ye into all the world. This was the commission that Jesus gave to his children. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Sad to say that many of God's children are satisfied. I'm going to heaven. But what about others? Few there are who seem to care, and few there be to pray. Oh God, touch my heart. Oh God, fill my life. And give me souls each day. Turn to Acts chapter 18. Verse number 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, it says Paul was pressed in the Spirit, and testify to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Go to chapter 20. Verse number 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day. With tears. Psalm 126. It says, verse number 6, or verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The Lord Jesus stood on the top of the Mount of Olives, and he looked over the city of Jerusalem, and he looked over that Kidron Valley, and into the city of Jerusalem. It says this: Jesus wept. How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen would gather her brood under her wing. And this is what broke his heart. But ye would not. They didn't want him. And men and women in Singapore today, many of them do not want the Lord, friend. They have no time for Jesus. But where's our tears? Where's our tears for the lost? What about your loved ones? What about your family circle? Maybe mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, grannies, grandparents, are they all saved? If they're not, friend, do you realize that they're lost? Do you realize that they die in their sin as they are, friend, where Christ is, they will never be? Do you realize that Jesus said in his day, he says, I go my way and ye shall die in your sins. Then he said this, and where I am, ye can't come. In a lost sinner's hell. When I was a young lad, through in a moment. When I was a young lad, I remember an uncle of mine. My uncle and aunt, they had no children of their own. They loved us as their children, especially my sister and I. I remember the night he was taken into hospital. I remember he got his leg amputated. He was seriously ill. As a young lad, I sat beside my uncle's bed. I loved him dearly. I left the hospital ward. I went home, and my mum and my aunt and another friend were sitting there in the ward. And in the night hours, my uncle died. But the last words he said were these. Oh, hell. 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 And it was gone. As a child, I cried myself to sleep, thinking about my uncle that I loved so much, and yet he died without Jesus. And he went to hell. And friend, he's still there. And I can't change it. Forever lost. Tell me, does that bother you? Does that concern you? The people were a people of passion. They had a love for souls just like their Savior. The one who loved you so much and loved me so much that he left the glories of heaven and came down into the sin-cursed scene of time, and he walked upon among men, and one day he went to Calvary and he shed his precious blood. You and I might be redeemed. He loved us. And he gave himself for us. He looked on the multitude, the Bible said. And he had compassion. As you go out into that mall today, and I go out into it, you see the multitudes of men and women. Listen, friend, listen. Precious souls. Headed to eternity. And they're either saved or they're lost. They're either on their way to heaven in Christ or on their way to hell without him. Does that bother us? That touch our hearts. Can we say, does the Spirit of God looking into our hearts today, as it said of us, we are pressed in the Spirit? We have a compassion upon them. When Jesus looked in the multitudes, he had compassion upon them because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. In other words, he saw them lost. I pray today that God will make Cornerstone a church of prayer. Make Cornerstone a church of power. Make Cornerstone a church of praise. Make Cornerstone a church of progress. Make Cornerstone a church of passion. And may God help you never to lose compassion for the lost. Let's go and win them. Let's go and love them. For Jesus. For he that winneth souls is wise. Please, God, give me that wisdom for the glory of your name. And if there's someone here today and you know not Jesus as your Savior, friend, I beg you in God's name, don't leave without Christ. Remember this, Jesus is not a way to heaven. He's the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. There's no other way of salvation, only in Christ alone. May God bless us people here. And may the Lord add to the church daily. His glory.